I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for those kids. It's always, I mean, I love seeing them come down. You know, it's just like this big herd. It is a good day to see those children in church. And thank you, parents, for bringing your kids to church. It is so important that we invest in their lives, that we invest in their faith. So thank you, parents and grandparents. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here. It's kind of a dreary-ish Sunday of some sorts, but thanks for being here. If you're visiting us online, thank you for being with us online as well. Jan and I have been watching this, or we finished watching this series on YouTube called The Promised Land. And if you haven't heard about it yet, it's good. It's funny. It's kind of a cross between The Office and The Chosen. It's a very interesting show, but the way things are told are incredibly powerful. And there are things that just wow. I would love to tell you things, but I don't want to give anything away. It's free, or it's funny, it's powerful, it's free to watch on YouTube. They just got picked up for season two, so I'm very happy about that. I highly recommend it. But watching that series, because they're, you know, it's the time after they leave Egypt and they are in the desert, it's reminded me of some important thoughts or some important questions regarding the book of Exodus. And there's this moment in the book of Exodus where Moses, who is worn down by leading a stubborn people, simply cries out to God, "God, show me your glory." He doesn't ask for power or victory or signs. Moses simply wants to see the fullness of who God is. And God answers with something, I think, surprising. He doesn't send thunder or lightning. He doesn't part the sea again or shake the mountain. Instead, he says, "I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." You know, when God reveals his glory, he reveals his goodness. I mean, that's how he has chosen to be known. His goodness isn't simply one attribute among many's, it's the essence of his nature. Like when we say, "God is good," we're not tossing out some Christian cliche. We're naming the very heartbeat of the universe. We are declaring that everything truly good, every act of mercy, every glimpse of beauty, every breath of grace flows from the God whose character is eternally good. And that's the reason why we give thanks. God is good. And this morning, there's a couple of important points I want to share with you regarding God's goodness and the reason why we give thanks. The first one is this: God's goodness is the foundation of our gratitude. You know, our opening hymn, our psalm this morning was Psalm 100. Now, we did it in a responsive way, but it is one of the purest calls to thanksgiving in all of Scripture. It is short, it is joyful, and it's direct. And it begins with these words: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." And it concludes with these words: "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." I mean, did you catch that, right? The Lord is good, right? That's the why behind why we give thanks. The psalmist isn't thankful because life is easy. The psalmist isn't thankful because his or her prayers are being answered the way that they wanted. He's not thankful because the world is peaceful. He's thankful because the Lord is good. We will often reverse that logic. When we say God is good, it's because we got the job we prayed for, because the test result came back as negative, the road in front of us clears, and we go, shoo. But the psalmist says the Lord is good before any of that, because it's who God is, not what God does for me in the moment. God's goodness is foundational, not situational. And when we build our gratitude upon God's unchanging goodness rather than our ever-changing circumstances, we discover a deeper, steadier joy. Secondly, God's goodness is seen in every gift. God's goodness is seen in every gift. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote to the early believers who were scattered and struggling, and they were tempted to doubt God's care. And as we heard a moment ago, he reminds them, he says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Right, in other words, every good thing that you have, the breath in your lungs, your friends, your food, your salvation, comes from God's hands. And James says, don't be deceived, because there are going to be forces in our world today, and he's talking 2,000 years ago, and it continues today. There are forces in our world today that will try to convince us otherwise. The enemy will come and will whisper into our ears, "You earned that. You deserve that." Or worse, the voice will say, "God is holding out on you." And James calls it what it is. It is a deception. Every good gift comes from God. Every single one comes from the Father, who gives constantly and abundantly and joyfully. And this means that thanksgiving isn't something that we manufacture. It is simply something we recognize. We open our eyes to see God's fingerprints on every part of our lives. In Wesley's view, thankfulness was not just a feeling, but a state of mind, an action that would lead us to spiritual perfection or holiness and happiness in God. Wesley believed that a thankful spirit could heal and turn difficulties into blessings, making it one of the most important aspects of our faith. I mean, think about your life for a moment. The laughter of a child, the aroma of fresh bread from the oven, a song that stirs your soul, the comfort of forgiveness after a failure. Each one is a whisper of divine goodness, a reminder that grace is woven into the fabric of everyday life. And even when blessings are mixed with burdens, the goodness of God remains. Because that takes us to number three. God's goodness doesn't depend upon our circumstances. They don't depend upon our circumstances. It is very easy to say God is good when everything is going our way. But the truest test of faith is whether we can still say it when life breaks our hearts. The psalmists are wonderful at this. They're incredibly honest. Psalm 13 begins with the words, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Psalm 42 says, "My tears have been my food day and night." Yet again and again, these same psalms return or circle back to one refrain: "I will yet praise him." Now, gratitude in hardship isn't denial, it is defiance. The world may shake, but the goodness of God will stand. There's a story that Corrie ten Boom tells. If you don't know who Corrie ten Boom survived the Nazi concentration camps. She and her sister Betsy were placed in a barrack that was infested with fleas. Corrie despaired, but Betsy said, "Let us thank God for everything. Yes, even the fleas." Corrie couldn't do it. Later, they discovered that the guards refused to enter the barracks because of the fleas. These women were protected from assault because of the fleas. And they were able to hold Bible studies and read scripture in peace. Corrie recognized that even the fleas were part of God's provision. Now, sometimes the evidence of God's goodness only becomes clear in hindsight. And gratitude in the midst of the storm reminds me that God is good and his mercy endures forever. Number four is that God's goodness leads us to worship and witness. Right? Psalm 100 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." In other words, gratitude is not just an emotion, it is a doorway to God's presence. When we come before God with thanksgiving, something shifts. Our prayers become less about asking and more about adoring. Our worship stops being duty and becomes a delight. And others really take notice about this. A grateful heart shines bright in a complaining world. For gratitude is a witness to the goodness of God. And when your coworkers see you stay calm in the chaos, when your friends hear you speak hope instead of cynicism, when your family notices that you thank God even for the small things, they see a glimpse of his goodness reflected in you. The world's problem isn't that people don't know God exists, but that they don't see his goodness. And our gratitude reveals his goodness to the world. That brings us to five, and that is God's goodness is the reason for our hope. We give thanks because God's goodness is not only behind us, but it is ahead of us. Psalm 23 ends with this promise: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Hebrew word there for follow literally means to pursue. That God's goodness is chasing us down. God's goodness will pursue us all the days of our life. It just doesn't sit behind you like a memory. It runs after you with relentless love. That when you wake up in the morning, God's mercies are new. When you lay down at night, his faithfulness is still there. That when we fail, his grace meets us. And that when we fear, his presence will calm us. We are thankful for not just what he's done, but for what he has yet to do. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass before you. And Moses saw it. But centuries later, humanity would come to see it even more clearly in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, the goodness of God took on flesh. In Jesus' words, we heard mercy. In Jesus' hands, we saw healing. And on his cross, we witnessed a love that is stronger than death. And that is the reason why we give thanks. Because in Christ, the goodness of God has been fully revealed. And so today, whether life feels bright or broken, whether you are celebrating or simply barely hanging on, lift your eyes, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And that is reason enough to be thankful. And as a response to God this morning, I'd like to invite you to come and give thanks at the altar. Come and give thanks because you are grateful to God. Come and give thanks because you have seen the many gifts that God has given you. Come and give thanks that despite the difficult season you're in, you know that God is there as well. Come and give thanks as an act of worship. Come and give thanks because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the altar is open. Would you come and respond? Come and respond as we sing. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your goodness that endures, your goodness that doesn't leave, your goodness that doesn't run away. And God, we pray this morning that we would understand why we give thanks a little bit clearer. Because you are good, and your goodness is enough. Jesus, we are thankful for you, and it is in your name we pray. Amen.